So we pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be in your presence again, thanking you that you've allowed us to come together. Hopefully, Lord, around your word in the way that it was delivered to us by one who certainly had communication with you and could know the things of God which revealed for this hour. We look to you, Lord, as being our God also. The Holy Spirit, you God yourself teaching us being here at this particular time. And so that in no way can we be remiss. We believe, Lord, that there is a people who will not add or take from your word. We believe there is a bride who will be absolutely just and righteous before you and ready for glorification, the seed of which is already in her, and we believe taking place at this very moment, for which we are grateful. We thank you for this, Lord, and commend ourselves unto you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, what we're going to do is to continue a little bit more on our studies of the Holy Spirit. And the reason, of course, we're doing this is because the understanding of the presence of God has kicked up a lot of dust, especially amongst those who do not even know what is being taught. And that's the tragic thing. If they knew what was being taught, it would be a different story. But, you know, if you actually don't know chemistry, you're stupid to attempt to explain it. And you're stupid to fight it. Now, our son is a chemical engineer, the one that is deceased. And I never argued with him. I might argue the merits of biochemistry against the inorganic and things like that. But later on, he saw that there was something far more beneficial in the biochemistry than what he was into with the inorganic. But he was able to comprehend both of them. And when he began spilling off these 16-syllable words, which about to hear these poly, 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 polys, you know, poly meaning many, and how many, many syllables, don't ask me. I never argued. I wanted an explanation if I could get one. If my mind couldn't comprehend it, I still had to believe that he knew what he's talking about. Now, of course, I don't find myself in that favorable position where people say, well, Lee must know what he's talking about. Now, far be it for me to even suggest that anybody should come to me with that attitude. Although I hope that I do know what I'm talking about. But, you see, when you don't know what you're talking about, you know, you should keep quiet till you find out what you really know what you're talking about. Now, this is why I am talking about the presence as per the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which everybody is mixed up with. They don't understand. Certainly he has been here, present. That's true. As long as there's one believer that's born again, he has been present in the sense of that amount of spirit, and I'm talking of true spirit, what measure God gives the individual, and the revelation that he is able to bring forth, and the life he is able to lead only if it is motivated, inspired, and established and confirmed by the Holy Ghost. That would be his presence, period. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about him who was there before anything was there. See? Now, to thoroughly understand, we started last Sunday and then Tuesday also, going into the parallels of Scripture, the two lines of Scripture, one which dealt with the baptism with the Holy Ghost, God being present in you, just like every one of you have your father present in you and your mother present in you, whether you want to believe it or not. Because what are you but their product, physically, and also on the grounds of the positive, which is in the spirit, also because, you know, Eve did bear Cain, who was serpent's seed. And Eve did bear Abel, who, according to the word, would be the seed of God because Adam was the son of God. So, right at the beginning, you saw a pattern of elect and non-elect. All right. Dealing with the baptism with the Holy Ghost to the individual is different from when you are dealing with the Holy Spirit. He dealing with the corporate body. And also what he is doing apart from the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, as we study the baptism with the Holy Ghost and what benefits derived from it. You could easily come to the position of saying, well, I got it all. That's it. Who needs anything further, as though God were not intervening, or the better word is interposing himself. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. Now then, for this afternoon then, we're literally taking message number 3 on the Holy Spirit. And for those, what's your seat doing down so low? Hey, let's get that up in the air. Can't stand this low-down stuff. We're higher up than that. Okay, that's good. I'll get myself a little bench for my feet. Now, literally, we're into number 2, which is going to contain repeat and solidification or categorization of what lies in this baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, as I say, we have taken a couple of messages already and dealt with the Holy Spirit, particularly in the individual as to the necessity of a personal individual baptism with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's infinite benefits to that individual. So, we're going to continue looking at the necessity of the personal baptism with the Holy Ghost, but especially the infinite benefit of the Spirit in you that come to you as an individual. Okay, number 1, to begin with, and I'm going to take these as they came to me, because although I could take number 1 and make it number 2, I don't intend to. So don't worry about the chronology. I looked it over and I decided I'd go this route. All right, number 1, to begin with, let it be known that no matter what, no matter what, I don't care what anybody says, what anybody does, this experience in itself is required and commanded of God in order for the individual to be in the millennium as priests and kings unto God, and constitute the new Jerusalem, which is called the bride. Now, there is no way at all outside the baptism with the Holy Spirit to be in the first resurrection, and subsequently all and whatever that first resurrection pertains to in the kingdom of God on earth and heaven. Now, you heard what I said. You follow what I said? Without being born again, unless you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, which is one and the same thing, there is no way that you will be in the first resurrection and a partaker of anything which is subsequent to and pertinent to the first resurrection. Period. In other words, no first resurrection, no millennium, no New Jerusalem. Okay. Let's start going into Scripture to see just what the Scripture says concerning what I've said for it. John 3:1-8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, we know your teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. In other words, he said, hey, you've got something to tell us. You are here for a purpose of teaching us, because that's the tradition of God to send a vindicated prophet on the scene with something to tell them. Now, he said, you're here to teach us something, because nobody can do what you're doing except God be with him. And it's 10-1 that God with is the same thing that the angel said to Mary when she said, how can I bear a child like you say when I don't even know a man? And he said, with God being present, not just with God. See? Look, well, you know what I'm talking about. There's a difference between something a person has and can do with, and the person being right there. Okay, I'm sure that Most of you boys here can change a spark plug. But I bet you almost anything that, except maybe for Jim and Norm, I don't think anyone's got anything you change a spark plug with. Right at this moment, right? I know, Jim, you got one? Norm, you don't. You do too, you. Anybody else? No. You, Mel? You're pretty foxy. Okay, three guys can change spark plugs, but there's only three present who can do it because they got the tools to do it. You see the difference? Now, Bill didn't bring his, but Bill can change a spark plug. Joe rides a motorcycle, so he's already changed his spark plugs. But the thing is, they haven't got their tools with them. You see what I mean? Okay. But the actual presence of the person doing something. See, the requirement. Now, the rest of you guys are going to change spark plugs. There's no way you're going to change the spark plug. See, so you got it. What we're looking at here is when the angel said with God, all things are possible, it wasn't just on the grounds that, well, he can be present. When he is there for that purpose, that's going to be done. And it requires the very presence of that person. Now, somebody need a spark plug change, and the three boys that change, or four boys, they're not here, it won't be done. Okay, now he says here, except God be present with him. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say, now listen, here's his answer. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this is not that which requires a teacher. Although that is true. This requires a miracle. There again, being present. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born? He's old. He entered a second time, his mother's womb be born, and Jesus said, now here's the rebirth. Truly, truly, I say, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now he's telling you what Brother Branham said here, that baby coming forth is a bundle of nerves and muscles, and it takes a spirit that God allows. He even put it down to one of those good angels that didn't fall to possess that body. Now, a physical birth is not what he's talking about. Not the body being reborn, but it's that spiritual part of the man that is to be reborn, and it's an infusion of the Holy Spirit. Marvel not that I said you must be born again. The Spirit breatheth. Now, the word pneuma is spirit. And if you're going to put a spirit up here, you better put a spirit down in verse 8. If you're going to put wind in verse 8, then you better put wind up here. Because pneuma is wind. It's actually not really, but it's good enough. Breath. The Spirit breatheth where he willeth, and thou canst hear the sound of his voice, but cannot tell whence he cometh, and whither he goeth. So is everyone born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Now you notice in here that it categorically says, number one, that unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Number two, unless you're born again, you cannot enter. So there is no way that a person can apprehend even the existence of what is truly the kingdom of heaven unless he's born again. Nor can he ever become a part of it. In other words, there is no revelation and there is no reality. Now, revelation is not reality. Revelation is when you realize what is real and you're a part of it. Otherwise, it's not a revelation. That's why people are so hard to get this message across to. It's always been that way. Now he said, you can't see it, and you can't be in it. Okay? Let's go to John 7, 37, 39, the last day of the great feast. On the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, about his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus is not yet glorified. Now, what he was telling Nicodemus was not available at that point. It wasn't available. But it would be available after the Spirit was shed forth. And at that time, He could receive by believing. Go back to John 6. Same page, left-hand side, if you've got a Scofield Bible. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak in your spirit and they are life. Now notice he absolutely and categorically puts the Spirit and the Word together. See? No man can see. No man can be a part of without the rebirth. Revelation is that which comes by words. And the words having a light to them. Okay? Can't have unless you're born again. Turn to John 5, 24, 29. Truly, truly, I say, he that hears my words, believes on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not go into the judgment, but is passed from death to life. Now, let you know right there that there is something that can come only by hearing the word of God. Truly, truly, I say, the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They that hear shall live. For as the Father life in himself, so is he given the Son to have life in himself. He's given him authority to execute judgment also because he's the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that hear in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They've done good unto resurrection and life. They didn't even unto resurrection and condemnation. That's the white throne judgment risen up above. Is the first resurrection. Okay, let's go to John 11. 25-26. Jesus, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Galatians 3. One to nine. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You should not obey the truth before his eyes, Jesus Christ, and evidently set forth truth right among you. There's only to learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now notice every single place it was hearing, believing, therefore they must have received. There can be no believer who does not receive the Holy Spirit. Can't be a true believer. There's no way. Now, have you suffered so many things in vain? No, I suppose you haven't got the Spirit, you made perfect in the flesh. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be in vain, he that ministereth you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Now, Paul was speaking of himself, but also you can take it right back to Jesus. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel of Abraham, and these shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Okay? Notice, faith brings the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 13th verse to 14, Christ is redeemed as the curse of the law being made a curse for us, as written. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right. You can see in there. Cannot enter, cannot see. The Holy Spirit could only be given after Jesus was crucified and glorified on the right hand of the Father raised up. We saw that there was no way that the Holy Spirit could ever be received apart from the Word. And it would have to be an impartation of God based upon the Word. It would be to those who believe. And the evidence of being a believer would definitely be that you would receive the Holy Spirit. Let's go on to Ephesians 1, 13, 14. In whom ye hoped after ye heard the gospel of truth, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believed, ye received that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment, the token of our inheritance until the redemption, the purchase of possession, and the praise of his glory. Now with that, we're going to read Ephesians 2, 1 to 7. And you at the quickened, that quickened should be out of there, who were dead in trespasses and sins, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirits that are working children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our behavior in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath even as others. But God is rich in mercy, for his great love, he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace he is saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, notice what he says here. That we who are dead are quickened and are raised up and made to sit in heavenly places. Quickened from death, which is separation from God. Eventually, which would end in an entire cessation or annihilation in order to remedy the problem, unless God did something in the meantime concerning it, so there wouldn't have to be the annihilation. Now, we're going to go back to Romans 8 and compare Ephesians. Romans 8:8-11. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not in his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ, that's God, from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now notice what it says there. The Spirit of God is in the individual. Now, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Who? You that were quickened when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So therefore, we find that there is only one way that a person can be quickened. One way that a man can qualify for the resurrection. In verse 11 here. And that is through being born again, baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God in him. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. (clears throat) 20-23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first one that rose immortal from the grave and took with him the bodies of the saints that slept in Jerusalem. And he was the first one up. That's the first fruit. Now the up, that means there's more like him. So more have come forth in the grave. Where they are now is likely around the throne, but believe me, they're resurrected. Now listen, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruit. Afterward, what? The first fruit of his presence. Now there was a first fruit of his presence when he brought him out of Upper Sheol. Then there's a first fruit of his presence now. See? But notice, as in Adam all die, in identical manner, in Christ, all will be made alive. Now, let's go back now to Romans 8. And hold your finger there while I read in this list again. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ. That's resurrection, right? Okay. Romans 8 and 9, the last part. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Then if any man does have the Spirit of Christ, he is of his. Then who's going to be in this first resurrection? Only those that have the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, there's nobody going to be there without it. Now, we took all these scriptures to show you. I don't care. I could have taken many more scriptures. But you cannot get rid of the fact that unless a man is born again, there is positively no way of a genuine, definitive revelation of the kingdom. Positively, there is no way to be a part of it. You cannot be. a part of the first resurrection. You cannot be a part of anything subsequent unless you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now notice, man of himself does not have the Spirit which comes by way of the new birth, not even the elect. No, sir. Let's go to Galatians 4. 4-7. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. As in Adam, all die. Every single one that was in Christ, foreknown, elected, predestinated, will be in the first resurrection on the grounds of what we already read, that only those who are elect will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And if you are elect, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and even the election cannot bypass the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't care how you say it. You can weave it back and forth and put it 15 different ways. As many combinations as you get out of putting three things together, that'd be what? 3 to the 3rd. At least. You'd have 27 different ways of saying it. I don't care how you say it. You must be born again. Or you're never going to be in the first resurrection. You see? Now you start saying, well, yeah, only those that God foreknew, as in Adam, all died, all those sons that died. Sure. They're all going to come up. They're going to be in a resurrection. Which one? Okay, which one? There's two resurrections coming up. There's going to be those that are turned away into the lake of fire. But you got the record that distinctly says, he's not going to lose any of them, but you show me where anybody's going to be in the first resurrection apart from the baptism with the Holy Ghost. There's no record. There's no record. You've got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's go to Romans 8. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty, the liberty of glory, the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, that's everything, everybody, everything, the rocks, the trees, the animals, all forms of life are groaning. And travailing in pain doesn't simply mean that you're having a terrible time. The literal meaning is as a woman is giving birth to a baby. That word is pronounced travel or travail. I don't know. You can argue the point in the dictionary. It's a both thing. Travail. In other words, crying in birth pain. And not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We, even we ourselves, groaning in ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Now, what is this crying going on? In the human race, it's to be in the millennium, where everything is reborn into a fresh start. See? Now, all nature is crying for it. And notice, it's all waiting for those who are already first fruits, which means partakers of the first resurrection. For 2,000 years, the true church, the bride, has been groaning. And you bet they have. They get sick, they get killed, they get persecuted, they get everything under high heaven. And they say, let me get out of here. Now, of course, you get out of here, you want to say, well, hey, what am I doing here? This is just the motel on the way to the destination. Because when you get up there, then you want to come back. But not to what it was. Back. We miss our kids, but I wouldn't go through it again. No. No. That's for somebody else, not this old dogie. Not only all creation, but ourselves, which already have the guarantee. We're already as good as in the first resurrection. That's like the fella that tried to spend the money his uncle left him when the will hadn't been settled. He just ought to stand back with his tongue hanging out and his mouth watering what he was going to spend it on when he got the money, but the money took a while to get there. We've been 2,000 years. First fruiting, 2,000 years. Ain't nobody made it yet. But if you haven't got the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to make it. If you got the baptism with the Holy Ghost, Scripture said it's your guarantee. Okay, you're already first fruit. Well, that, you know, that really jibes with what it says over here in Romans, where it says, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That was the plan. Whom he did predestinate, them he called, that's election. Whom he called, them he justified. Whom he justified, them he glorified. Well, that's first resurrection. So it tells you right there that when you're talking about them that are in Christ Jesus, which is the 8th chapter of Romans, he gives you a picture of your rebirth and the waiting, see, for the hour of glorification, which you have in the extreme potential and the potential guarantee that you'll be in the first resurrection. Let's go to Ephesians 5. We're going to link this up to the bride. Verse 25, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, should be holy without blemish. So men ought to love their wives their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even the Lord the church. Now I'm telling you that the Lord is the cherisher and nourisher of the church. And what some of these false anointed was doing around here. For your members of his body, his flesh and of his bones. For this cause a man leaves father and mother and be joined his wife. The two become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Alright, what's he talking about? He's talking about a bride. Okay. Alright, let's compare this with 1 Corinthians 12. Now we're members of him, it says here. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Alright. 12 and 13. For as the body is one and many members, and all members that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and been made to drink in one Spirit. That's male and female. Everybody comes the same way. Everybody is nourished the same way. It may be that the headship of the church, in the sense of a fivefold ministry, is delegated to the male membership on the grounds of type and so on, and the way the woman was made. But from that point on, woman has equal rights. She's got equal rights to be lost and found, to be justified or unjustified. No difference. She's got a right to be truly born again, to look after her spiritual welfare in Christ, because you better not trust a man, because Christ alone is a nourisher, the provider, and she has every right to vote for a pastor. Some people don't want to believe that, but Brother Brent said she could, because she better, because she better look after spiritual welfare. Some men say, well, what if the woman negates her husband's vote? Well, he's a fat head, then fine. Maybe she's the smart one. Maybe she's the dodo, and he's the smart one. So fine. Negate each other's vote. What are you running, some kind of a club here? We're afraid of God? I'm not afraid of the things of God, or I'd been gone a long time ago. I didn't go down the road facing everything under high heaven, knife in my back and one in my stomach for many years without knowing there was a God somewhere. You know, you usually don't go out here and face something like Paul said. Look, he said, I was thrown to the lions. I was a day and a night in the deep. He said, 5 times received I 39 stripes. He could have killed him any one time. He said, you think I did this for nothing? Well, I don't think women got to sit around picking their noses thinking they're not a part of the bride of Jesus Christ because some man says, I'm the head of the house. So what house? What house? We could get into some good hot things right here, right now. I'm just going to drop this right now because it's too interesting. And the first thing, how to ruin a good ministry if you ever had one, which I don't, especially preaching, is don't go down byways, no matter how tempting you are. Stick with the subject. Okay, tells you right here. We're members of his body, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Every one of us, how? How do we get as a unit, a corporate unit, every single one baptized with the Holy Ghost, everyone possessing the same measure of light? Not an office, the same measure of light. Say, okay, that's how we get there. What is it? The baptism with the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's go to Revelation 19. Now we talked about a bride, right? And you get to be bride how? By being the body of Jesus Christ. By being the true church. By being the true vine. How? On the grounds that you were elected, and you made your election sure by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Revelation 19. Here we are, all the way up to a bride. It's getting very cozy now. Sir, because if he's got something as the husband, the bride is going to get a hold of it, or she's not a very smart bride. Yes, sir, she got duped down the road somewhere. Well, God's not a duper. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. There you are. How she made herself ready? Washed her garments, stood still in the waters of separation. There's the character that these guys can't understand. I'm preaching the same as Brother Branham preached. It is not character that comes from this. We'll talk about it. You've already got it. Or you better be baptized with the Holy Ghost to get it. Now look, there is a character where she washes her robes. She stands still to hear the message. End time evangelism. Now, I don't think you heard me. Maybe some of you folks, you get out your book on end time evangelism. And remember, Mats and Bose going to Africa sat there and listened. Brother Branham hardly said one thing about the big deal of winning souls. Because he already knew when he went to Africa, and they said, oh, Brother Branham, with your ministry here in Durban, and what you did here at Cape Town and so on, you go into the interior, and oh my, you'll sweep the whole country of Africa to God. And he said, it ain't so. Oh, yes, they prevailed upon him. They literally forced him. So what happened? God sent thunderstorms and lightning bolts and floods until nobody could even get near the place. No. God plays dirty fool. Yes, you bet he does. You smart off with him and think you can hide the eight ball in some pocket. God will take you and put you behind the eight ball. Don't you think for one minute that those who lightly esteem him, he will turn around and say, well, isn't that nice? You didn't believe my word because you were over here in the Bible and I saw that you were looking at some other things I said, and so I forgive you. Hogwash. Yeah, hogwash. God said, don't go. And he forced him to go when he had amoebic dysentery, which in those days would kill a man. Read his story, how it all transpired. I went to the same doctor, Dr. Lucas. He's a pathologist then, same doctor. I got to know Marvin Lucas, and he knew Brother Brown, said he's a fine man, but Lucas didn't know what we knew. The bride made herself ready. Did she baptize herself with the Holy Ghost? Hogwash. If that's the case, we'll join the Roman Catholic Church and let the old Pope lay his hands on us. Just don't let that big ring on his finger get too close to my wire clipping teeth, or he ain't going to have that ring. Or maybe a finger. Roman Catholics don't like to hear me say things like that. What's the matter? Kissing some ring going to get you somewhere? Says, kiss the son, lest he be angry. Not some priest or somebody. You don't even get... Well, let's not follow that subject either. Okay. And to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen. Brother Branham, explain washing your robe. Stand still in the waters of separation while you hear the word. See? The ministry of the Holy Ghost is that water you stand in, saying, this man is of God, and whomsoever I receive that sent to him, I receive him. You know, a lot of people still aren't to the place, you know, they're still back in Pentecost. They can't see that God is, the prophet is God to the people. It doesn't say he's God, said he's God to the people. The same people, I don't think, understand when we send our ambassadors overseas. That's the president, that's the nation talking. Oh, no. John Cabot Lodge, he's 81 now, so he doesn't go very and place. He was our ambassador. We had Habib to the Arabs. And I suppose when Mr. Habib goes over there, they say, well, this is really not President Reagan. This is former President Carter talking. And this is not the United States, a great nation. This is merely a part of Canada. They say, what did you say, Mr. Habib, Mr. Leegate, Mr. Ambassador? You said so-and-so. That means your nation stands behind it.
Well, I don't know that I'm really saying that.
And the nation didn't send him.
Amen.
Or we're a bunch of dogs. We're stupid. And if the Arabs trust us, they're stupider than we are. We're stupider than the Russians because we trust them. Fap, and they live on nothing but lies. I thought America had honored. Mr. Habib goes over there and he said, this is what our government said. This is what we will do. We have the task force ready. We have the Marines ready. We have this amount of equipment ready. We have this machinery. We have this money. Yes, Mr. Ambassador, our nation said so. The nation stands behind it. People, now, if you can't understand, a prophet comes in the name of the Lord, and God stands behind the prophet, so that person is absolutely the kingdom of God to you. Well, just go home. Go on home. Go on back and talk in tongues. Well, you're speaking mysteries to yourself, and everything is so caught and pick and mysterious, that's a few more mysteries you don't understand. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty where this. Look, and I make fun of this stuff, because what is there left to do? But God, it says, where it says back there in the book of Isaiah, he shall have them in derision. Book of Psalms said so, and that book of stammering is derision. I don't want to be here when the preachers start explaining, after we're gone, what really happened. No. Because they'll be held in derision. Say, didn't you tell us so-and-so? That's what Brother Brandon said. I'm quoting the prophet. I'm not trying to get back on anybody. He said they're going to come and say, wasn't so-and-so supposed to happen? It already happened. People are trying to equate this parousia to the corporal body coming down. Well, if the Lord descends from shouting, that's a message, and that's a corporal body, you better start looking for someone with nail prints to tell you something that can go through walls. Because he's got to come down here and give us something. Bring us a message, or the prophet lied before the dead can be raised. Because Jesus, Brother Brandon said, does all three things in descending, and the dead come number two, and the marriage supper comes number three. The bride made herself ready by standing in the waters of separation to hear a message. What message? William Branham's message. Then if the Lord descends with the shout, William Branham was the Lord to us. Without being the Lord. He was the voice. When it's a voice, it means you're saying exactly what the unseen says. You better know you're right. Or you talk about a man frying. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. I know William Branham was right, because not even 1/10 or 100 of 1% of 750 million so-called Christians listened to him or even heard of him. Now, if they'd have been listening, I'd have walked off years ago. You know, the more they turn down their earphones, their hearing aid, the better I like it, although, go ahead. The better I like it, and yet I don't like it. You can't help but feel sorry for them. But you can't help but feel angry at the same time. Because the scripture says, willfully ignorant. She was a reed. And he said, right blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Aha, he's got a wife. Who's the wife? the church. How do you get to be a member? Born again, full of the Holy Ghost. Hey, but this is a glorified bride. Right! She's in the first resurrection. She's heading for the millennium. Revelation 20, let's take a look at her. Fourth chapter, fourth verse. I saw thrones and they sat upon them, judgment given to them. Saw the souls that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads and their hands. They lived in the reign of Christ 1,000 years, because they were full of the Holy Ghost. The rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that part in the first resurrection, and such the second death and no power. They'll be priests of God, and that Christ reigned him 1,000 years. That's the bride. How are you going to get it? By being full of the Holy Ghost. How are you going to miss it? By not being full of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? There's a guarantee. You're sealed into it. And people go around wondering. I like what Daddy Bosworth said. If you must doubt, doubt your doubts. Never doubt your faith. Doubt your doubts. Because they're unreliable. Okay. Revelation 21, 1 to 2. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there's no more sea. I, John, saw holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down heaven, coming down from God and prepared as a bride. Adorned for a husband, verse 9. One of the angels said, come hither, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Carried me away in the spirit in the great high mountain, showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending from God to heaven, having the glory of God, etc., etc. 23 to 27, same chapter. The city has no need of sun, neither moon, to shine. The glory of the Lord God delighteth. The Lamb is the light thereof. Why? Because he's the glory of God. Christ is the glory of God. The emanation, the outraying of God. Nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. Kings of the earth bring their glory and honor, and that's those in the second resurrection. They don't make it. They don't have the oil. They're not full of the Holy Ghost. There are those that died in Adam but are made alive at the end time. They till the soil. Do a lot of nice things for the bride. Beautiful. I have a lazy nature. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. Lift up your heads, ye gates. Stand up for the fact that he is present. The truth of a prophet. Don't be ashamed of this word. And don't treat it as something, oh, like too many people do, titillating. This is not titillating. This is light. I'm not talking to you about something that titillates your mind. Oh, you say, Brother Vail, you're trying to tell us something. Yes, I'm trying to tell you. People come to me with little things that are revelations. They're titillating. Hogwash, they're not revelations. I don't want to scare you. If you're scared, that. You don't know me at all. Ask the Miller girls. They've known me for years longer than anybody here. When have I ever been unseemly, unkind, or anything? You know me all these years. When have I ever not answered your questions, been rude and vulgar to you, hard-hearted? Never any time. They know me. I've known Lee for 27 years. Lee Miller. Knew him before that. I think 1954. I got to know him. 55, yeah. 27 solid years. Over a quarter century. I'm not trying to be rude. Just trying to tell you something. Revelation is life. We're not dealing with heads, we're dealing with the eyes of the heart. Where the lifeblood coursing through you is the life of the Word. You can't have it unless you're born again. You say, Brother Bill, you're trying to tell me something. For Pete's sake, have you got ears to hear? Yes, I'm trying to tell you something. But the prophet said the evidence of being born again is the word of the hour that you receive it. And you become that word in your flesh. And he said nothing outside of this message will come to life. Vindicated prophet. You think for 1 minute, say, well, you think this man then began to spout off and he got carried away with grandiose ideas, little Kentucky hillbilly? Ha! You don't know prophets and you don't know God of the prophets. You're still sitting around here, so be you're here today. You're still sitting around here in an unregenerate condition. And that prophet veils the word There are no mistakes. And there is no self-aggrandizement. And there is nothing titillating. It's life and death. We've even overcome death, because we're not going to die.
Amen.
What did it? Well, we're baptized with the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't even come near it. You couldn't be. You can't be a part of this. There's no way. The gates of it shall not be shut. There'll be no night there. They'll bring their glory and honor into it, the nation. Nothing anywise. Enter in to defile it. Nothing to defile, praise God. No abomination. No making a lie. But they which are in the last book of life. In other words, only they that are those in the last book of life, which are born again, proving that they were the election, the one that was separated virtuously unto him by the Father, nothing but they, them, will be in New Jerusalem. The rest will come to the gate. Hey, listen, you talk about a perfection. Where'd they get it? Where'd they get it? They were elect and baptized with the Holy Ghost. And because they were, this is where it took them. Okay, now that you understand a little bit, I'll read it again to you. To begin with, let it be known that no matter what this experience is in itself, shout, jump up and down, scream, stand there amazed, feeling, no feeling, who cares? Long as you got it. All right. What it is in itself, which is really God himself giving you a measure of himself, it is required and commanded of God in order to be in the millennium, to be priests and kings unto God, and then to constitute the new Jerusalem, which is called the bride of Christ. There is no way at all, outside of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, to be in the first resurrection, and subsequently all, and whatever. The first resurrection pertains to in the kingdom of God in earth and in heaven and in the new heavens and in the new earth. Absolutely, you must be born again. And if you are, you'll get this. Now that makes you say, well, who needs the other? I'm laying it right on the line here. If I fooled you in this message, you're fooled. You should have been fooled. You need to be fooled. It's my job to fool you. I'm not done. No, look, we're not here for fun anymore. If you some people, you know, listen, I told you I got no father, no mother, no sister, no brother, no wife, no children in this message. You do what you want. You may, oh, my dear mother, sainted mother. Try and let your sainted mother get you there. Go ahead. Tell her to anoint you. Pour some dishwater on your head. Got to come to you. Fact. What is this about mother, father, sister, brother, or relatives of the preacher? Ha! You better look again. Every one of us is dead without Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
There's no great ones amongst us. There's nothing except death and degradation. So we're in the message or we're not in the message. It's just that simple. Number two, since the reception of the Holy Spirit is required of God and even commanded of God, then God has to make a way for it. And I could have put that number one, but put a number two, because we want to get to, hey, let's see what this experience is. What this is all about. You can tell right here, there's not one of us going to be in the first resurrection, in the New Jerusalem, in the millennium, priests and kings unto God, sit on the throne, judge, or anything else but the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Period. We don't make it. Okay, and I say, well, some people say, well, Brother Vail, that requires character. Listen, you know something? Better get some of my old tapes, and I'll teach you what character is. Get some of my old pastoral tapes that shook people up down one side and the other. Until a preacher said anything could happen. When I preached a prayer series, and I preached on faith, people got out of the wheelchairs and walked out. And that wasn't a miracle. Come back next day and say, Brother Vail, I'm the one that got out of the wheelchair yesterday. I said, you couldn't be. You look 30 years younger. Where'd it come from? God. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying we obviate that for 5 seconds. We'll go into the character part. But I'm trying to tell you something. That the baptism with the Holy Ghost, when you get it, will do all these things for you, and you can't miss it, and you have nothing to do with it except be the vessel.
Amen.
Now, certainly ought to be a special kind of a vessel. And you are, you're elect. All right, it's commanded. Let's go to Acts 1. They're not going to see it anyway. Look, this is not for anybody. This is for you people. Fiddle faddle. He that is just is unjust still, and he that is unjust is unjust still. He is filthy, filthy still. He is righteous, righteous still. The tree of life stands here for immortality and without her dogs. See? Whoremongers. God have pity, brother, sister. I'm not running anybody down. Just telling you, look, if they want it, they can have it. Just get out of my hair. You know, I'm short-tempered in a certain way. But you might have thought that God's prophet wasn't. Let me tell you something, brother. I'd sooner be short-tempered and you deal with me as a short-tempered person than you sit with Brother Branham and I have seen the atmosphere just go dark in the entire room. Darker. Darker, darker. And he just sat there so sweet and so nice. And a new judgment lurked for unbelief. You kid yourselves. You people here today, some of you are kidding yourselves. I love you, but you're kidding yourself. As you get older, you'll find out I'm telling you the truth. When you face the River Jordan, you're going to find I'm telling you the truth. You're going to be like that fella that Brother Branham talked about. I forget his name exactly, but he dreamed he died. And he came to heaven and he said, they said, who are you? And he said, I'm so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so. They looked through the records and they said, we don't have any record of you. But he said, there's got to be record. No, he said, there's no record. Well, couldn't you try again? Well, if you say so. Ran it through the spirit's computer. Searched heaven, every one of the archives, they couldn't find his name. Looked at the manager. I don't understand. Well, he said, you either got to go away or you can appeal to the highest tribunal of the land. Well, he said, I better appeal to the highest tribunal. Took him through darkness, finally faced the light, he said, that no man could approach unto him. The voice thundered out, he said, have you always been a righteous man? And he said, I thought I was a righteous man for that moment. He said, I knew I wasn't righteous. The voice he ever told a lie, he said, I thought I was honest, but he said, I knew I was not. When that voice got through, he said, I knew I was lost. He said, my mother couldn't come, my father, like Brother Brand said, my father, my mother, nobody could come. And he said, then I heard the sweetest voice, Father, he stood with me while he was on earth, I'll stand with him. I'm going to tell you something, that's being in Christ.
Amen.
And you're going to find, whether you know it or not, you better know it now, that I don't care what anybody tells you, that person had better qualify his statements, except you're born again. And you can be like that thief on the cross without one chance of ever doing one thing for God that mounts to anything except blaspheme his holy name until that moment. And you'll still make it if you're elect and born again. That's why God cleans people up and take them. But there's always this thing, I'm a nice guy. Well, you're looking at a guy that isn't nice. He looked in a three-way mirror, then he looked in the mirror of God. And he puked both times. At what he saw. But we see Jesus. You look at what you want. Let's get this. And being assembled, together commanded them, they should not depart, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you heard of me. I gave you my own personal witness. This is the revelation of the hour. This is what it is. You must be born again. For John truly baptized with water. Why, they knew he did. You take a man and you put him under water and don't teach him the old trick like this, you know, preacher. Now hold your nose with these two fingers and put your hand over your wrist and I'll help you so you get baptized and the water, plug yours with cotton. A lady put on a bathing cap. And I'll help you get baptized. Fact. The nose should be full of water, the ears full of water, and the eyes full of water. If you really want to know the truth. I'm not against the other way, long as you're underwater. But look at John truly baptized. They knew what it was. It was real. It was done. So is this. It's greater. It's what comes after the baptism of John. Now, it says he commanded them. Now, people don't like the word command, so they use the word charge. What's the difference? If I give you a charge, I give you a command, same difference. Word charge might be a little bit better in the authorized version. This is the old King James. Who gives a rip? Charge commanded. You must be born again is what he said to Nicodemus, is what he is saying here. You will be born again. You will be converted. Why? Because repentance precedes conversion. And repentance is a definitive change of the mind. And no mind can ever receive the Word of God unless the Spirit of God is moving in the mind, because the human spirit moves in the mind. It's revelation comes from, you must be born again. 2 chapter 37:39. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what are you going to do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, the divorcing of sins, the putting away of sins, the atonement of sins, the propitiation, the godliness of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise unto you Jews, your children Jews, you all that are far off Gentiles, as many as the Lord our God shall call. We're commanded to do two things, charged to do two things. Repent, be baptized. The third thing is up to God, and He does it for you. Galatians, the third chapter we read at 13:14, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Repent, be baptized. Remission of sin. Being made a curse for us, it's written, curse everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, which was what? To receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Here we are. Commanded. Commanded. Charged. Okay, number three. The Holy Spirit baptism is the individual's guarantee that all that Christ procured by His death for our redemption and future status can never be lost to us as it once was through Adam. Replenish the earth and the word to those who were in the replenishing. Rule over nature. Take care of the bees. Cause the bees to swarm at the right time. Cause the trees to come at the right time. Name those animals. Keep the ecology in balance. I told you Adam only got as far as the animals. He named the animals. Ha! They tell me we know the names of 1 million insects, and there's at least 3 million to go. Heaven forbid, outside the Holy Ghost and the glorified body. Oh, you won't need to know all the names. Why wouldn't we, though? Might call a little pet ant. Hi, George, what you doing over here? Any Georges here? Oh, I don't know, maybe Brad. Brad, get out of that cookie jar. You know ants aren't involved in the cookie jar. I need some figs for my fig bars. Fig tree, I think it's about time I had some fig trees. I mean some figs. You say, do you believe that? I don't know that I believe it, but it's certainly possible, because I'm supposed to control them. Adam never got that far. Well, we're going to be in control. See? In other words, the baptism with the Holy Ghost guarantees every single thing that Adam lost for us that Christ gained back by His death. You follow me? Okay, Hebrews 10. You feel better already? That's good. So if you work for the Ford plant and don't get paid too much, get cold and miserable working for David here, Tommy, out there in the cold. I don't know exactly what old Gary's doing, but 10 to 1 is not too hot. Don't feel bad. There's a good day coming. There's a great day coming when even my arthritis ain't going to bother me. And they won't keep poor old Lloyd up till 3 in the morning testing an engine's going to work anyway. Yeah, I knew that pump was going to work. Well, what do you care as long as you got time and a half? Okay? You're going to get overtime. 1,000 years. Then millions and trillions to go. 1,000 years to run it. And then trillions where people are going to come in and see you. bring your glory in, if you're full of the Holy Ghost. Okay, Hebrews 10, yes sir, 4 to 18. For it is not possible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Certainly not. Wherefore, when he cometh into the word, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared. All right, some other kind of blood is going to do it. All right? In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. And said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written to me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. See, grace and mercy does this. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first and he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once. And that's once for all. That's a literal translation there, as far as I know. Now, you notice in here that we're now sanctified by the offering of the body, because that's the body he wants. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. Now watch, they can't do it. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice since ever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected them forever that are sanctified. Now you notice that this one that's expecting every enemy to come under his feet. Then it says, by one offering he's perfected them that are sanctified. Well, what's he trying to tell you? He's trying to tell you that he's the head of those that make the body and the feet, of which everything is going to be under them. Through what? The sacrifice. Now listen. Whereof the Holy Ghost is also witness. The Holy Spirit is the witness to this. The witness to what? The one sacrifice. Forever consummates all sacrifice to make the believer perfect. Now he came back and showed it. But when did he come back and show it? After he had filled them. There were no miracles, no miracles through the disciples until after they were born again. Then the ministry they had showed it to the world that there was something real there, but they already had it. So, their witness of their perfection was the baptism with the Holy Ghost or the Spirit answering to the blood. As Brother Branham put it clearly, if you are thoroughly cleansed by the blood, the Holy Ghost will come in. Remember, it's the vessel where the spirits are swept out, but nothing comes in that come back to a bad shape. Now, nobody full of the Holy Ghost ever had a spirit rub. No way. All right. Now, he said, this is a covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. What day? When the sacrifice is completed and the Holy Ghost comes back to witness. I'll put my law in their hearts. In their minds I'll write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there doesn't need to be any more offering because it's done the job. Now, the baptism with the Holy Ghost guarantees this to you and me. Now, let's go to Romans 5, because I told you, it's not like Adam. He lost everything. And this one guarantees it through the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is the rebirth. Alrighty. 12th verse, Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that are not sinned according to the similitude of Adam's transgression, which is the figure of him to come. Now watch. But not as the offense, not as Adam, so also is the free gift, so is Jesus. For if through the offense of one many be dead, that's the many, the elect. And much more the grace of God and the gift of God, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded or overflowed unto no comparison unto the elect. All right, now listen. If the offense caused death, which has been going on for 6,000 years, which has brought separation, disorientation, misery, sickness, crippled condition, sorrow, murder, everything under God's high heaven is spewed out upon us from hell because of perversion. And it's to the place where it looks like there's no justice, there's nothing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because if you're full of the Holy Ghost, whatever you see measured today, in the maximum of sin, multiply it a trillion times. And you'll see the grace of God, what God's going to give you and do for you. You follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
The baptism with the Holy Ghost does this. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. There's no comparison. For the judgment was one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. In other words, if you realize and know what you have done is worthy of death and you're penalized, how much has the Holy Spirit freed you from that? Every time anybody hears about one, we must make account of deeds done in the flesh. We must all be put here before God and be judged. Everybody gets scared stiff. It sends a shockwave through our system. Why? There's got to be misunderstanding here somewhere because God just can't talk out of both corners of his mouth. Now, you may get a fellow eating watermelon. As fast as the watermelon goes in one side, the seeds go out the other side. God doesn't do that. He's not a blind watermelon eater. Now, he says right here. Let's read it. Let's find out. I mean, look, either this word's the truth or it's a lie, one of the two. not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. No comparison. The judgment was one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Tells you right there. If by Adam every sin was in the world, you Adam and Eve, every sin was in the world, and that was caused by one sin, what will one righteous life do to compensate? There's no comparison. Verse 17, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more the day which receive abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. What's the gift of righteousness? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's what he tells you. More of the law entered, the offense might abound. Where sin abounded, grace should much more abound. The sin abound, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign to righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, if every single thing that we lost in Adam, we not only gain back, but we gain back in the comparison of the intensity and the depth and the number, so that it cannot even be analyzed and compared. Then what is life going to be like? Now, people hang on to this life here pretty desperately, which is a sinful life. You know, the sinner, he's a pig. He's a pig and a dog. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing much happier than a pig and a dog. He's out there chewing on the bones, you know, and the hog's out there wallowing in the swill. Poor old sheep won't go near, but a hog and a dog, they just love that, you know. They like to wallow. You know, that's the Bible's a perfect picture of, you know. A hog and a dog. Dog goes, he's vomit, the hog goes to the wallow. They sure do. And you know what? You can't tell those guys are not having fun. They're living it up, and they sure do. I told you years ago when I was a Pentecostal preacher, I believed all the junk any preacher told me. Anything at all sounded good. And they used to say, well, you know, the sinner isn't happy. And one day I woke up, that preacher's a cotton picking liar. The devil couldn't tell a better lie than that. The sinner not happy? Oh, come on, he's having a ball. He's having a good time. The pleasures of sin, the Bible says. The pleasure of sin is pleasurable. It's fun to knock the other guy down, tromp his guts out if you feel that way. It's nice to chip the other guy before he makes any kind of living or take it from him. Go spend it yourself. It's nice. It's fun, fun, fun. And they're having fun, fun, fun. The wages of sin is death. They're having fun. Don't tell me they're not having fun, because they are having fun. They revel in it. They love it. The Bible says so. And I know so. And I know so because I know so. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They're food. Because this life here is nothing to what we're going to have. You talk about being sensate, and sensuous is not a bad word. Sensuous, everybody means sexual intercourse. Don't be a nut. Sensuous means simply that you have senses and you can feel. Sensate is the same thing. So let's keep it in the purest context. The soft skin of the baby, the little smile of recognition, the first blush of a rose, the apple forming in the tree, the vine growing, the birds appearing and singing. We don't know one trillionth of that we're going to know. I'm telling you the truth. The baptism with the Holy Ghost guarantees it. See, as you could know nothing of the things of God without the baptism, neither do you really know what just lies ahead that the Holy Spirit guarantees you apart in that first resurrection. Okay. I'm going to skip a little bit. I think I'll skip those scriptures. We'll go to the fourth point. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that under no condition can the born-again believer who departs this life be in a place of separation and anxiety as it was under the law. Okay. Second, do you want me to read that again? Oh, you missed it. That's somebody. Who said, good, Isabel, you're my kind of a woman. You get up and talk in the right places. You said, good. Okay. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that under no condition can the born-again believer who departs this life be in a place of separation and anxiety as it was in the Old Testament. Which they were. Which, if you want to know right away, I won't read it. You read it in Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. You will see he was in Upper Sheol. You can look back and forth. Right. There was a place of wonderment and anxiety. It wasn't good. It's been moved. You'll never be in that place at any time ever again. See? Now, let's go to, let's see if I can get this verse, if I'm right over here, I'm not sure. Yeah, 1 Peter 3, I think I want to give you. The 18th verse to 20 of 1 Peter 3. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, that just for the unjust he might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, quickened of the Spirit, by which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, when eight souls saved by water. Like figure went to even baptism to save us, not to putting away the flesh, but answer good conscience toward God and so on, who has gone to heaven, under his right hand of God and so on. Now you can see there when the Old Testament saints left, they were in a position that we are not in today because of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. They never had what we have. So what I'm telling you is that the minute you're sealed, you never deviate from the progression of death in sin to priest of God and wife of the Lamb. You never decrease. You never waver. All right. The scripture is 2 Corinthians, because that's what you're waiting for. So I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. That tells you right there if this is dissolved. Now remember, that does not take place after the resurrection. This is before the resurrection, the dissolution of the body. For in this we groan, this body, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle groan, being burdened, not that we be unclothed, but clothed upon. That mortality, death doomed, separation from our flesh, might be swallowed up of life, taken care of by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now he that wrought us for the self, same thing as God, who has also given to us the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit is not simply to give you a glorified body, but to see that when you leave here, you go into a spirit body, which Brother Branham called a theophany. And there, under the most wonderful circumstances, you live in a paradise of God until you come back here in a body that you're guaranteed by the same Spirit to pick up. You follow? Okay, number five. The Holy Spirit baptism is when God imparts His own attributes to the believer, so that the believer stands complete in Him. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is the literal Spirit of God containing the attributes for what God really is. Colossians 2, 10 to 12. And ye are complete in Him. The word is replete, sated, gorged, stuffed, overflowing. Nah, nobody really feels that way today. You know why? We make God a liar. How many believers are there today? Really believers. Really believers when it comes to that. No, we go by feeling. We look in the mirror and we say, hey, what a lousy looking bird that is. Sheesh. What a character. Now you say, Lord, I'm not complete in you. Like me, 45 years, made God a liar. Be my guest. Go ahead. I want you to suffer with me a little bit. If you can't listen to a man up here that's honest and sincere, who actually spills his guts to you, and I do, like hardly a living man ever spill his guts to anybody, and really tell you the truth, and you sit here, and you go your way foolishly and do things. Look, you be my guest. Go ahead. Spit me face. Make him a liar. That's nice. Yeah. Let me tell you something. He'll love you just the same. That's the thing that's hard to understand. Because he said you'll lose none. You never go back to being a dog because dogs don't get born again. It's sheep that mess around in the mud. And he cleans them up. See? You're complete. You're replete. That's what it says in Romans 5. Much more. Much more. No comparison. Overflowed. You can't compare it. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you people know much about Arizona, but I've been up there a few times. And I'll tell you, if that flash flood starts to come, you get out there and get out of here fast. Because I tell you, you'll see nothing but a dry arroyo, I guess they call it, just dry. The sand is dry. When that rain starts to come, in no time, you've got a torrent. That'll pick your crop and take you clean down to Mexico or somewhere down the Gulf. For stories. You better believe it. See? Overflowing. You get a dam giveaway. Millions and millions of tons of water. And you think you know the power of force. You don't know the power of force until a wave of water hits you. That's 10 feet high. You won't know the power of force until one of those waves that I forget they call them tsunamis or something, come out of the ocean, an earthquake hits. 12 feet high and go 250 miles an hour. You'll know something hit you. Pain on the left. Let me tell you something. This is what we're talking about, the overflowing. You know, if we need a revelation of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and people do in this hour, face the legalists, they need a revelation right here. Because, I'm going to tell you, they belie even the very thing that I'm teaching. Because they don't even believe the Holy Ghost does this to them. That you are replete. Oh, praise God, we made it to a point. Hallelujah. And just maybe we're going to make it the rest of the way. If we be such nice boys, the Lord got to say, hallelujah, kid, come on up because you're so nice. You ever heard such hogwash in your life? He says, replete. I gave you more than enough. I drowned you in my mercies and my grace. See? Years ago, they were smart enough to know that the infinite in numbers means there's no limit. So if the world contains 60 billion people, and the life of God was infinite, so that it was an infinite number divided by 50 billion, It is still infinite. Right? You know math. You know math. That's one of the first things you teach in algebra. Maybe the first thing you teach in grade one, let you know the grace of God. They don't teach that in the Catholic Church, though. They figure the Pope's got it. Fool you on the Pope. Fool you on the Protestant, too. Protestant worse than the Catholic. At least the Catholics got to come out and say things that Protestants put under the table and just pretend they're not. That's one thing. The Catholics don't have a pretense. They know what they're doing. The Protestants all pretend. You talk about a bunch of hoodwinkers. I need your one. I'm Christian. I trust you are, too. You are complete in him, replete, gorged, stuffed, overflowing, sated, which is the head of all principality and power. What's he trying to tell you? He said, there's nothing now and nothing in the future that I don't control, and you have in limitless measure. Then what's our capacity? See, there again, man's thinking goes down the drain. What's your capacity? People draw a line. They say, my capacity is, bless God, if I get through this day without telling one little lie. Or I get it without getting mad today. What's your capacity? Well, it's infinite. You got an infinite God, don't you? I want to tell you something. I still believe the Frenchman's theory of a good marriage. One of the married ones must have an infinite capacity to love. And the other must have the infinite capacity to be loved. I am the one in our family who has the capacity to be loved. I got a good marriage. And I got a good marriage to God. Because I can never get enough of his love. Sometimes I think that I abuse it, which I know pretty well I do. But then again, he knows me, and he knew what I'd be like. And he knew how many fleas there'd be, and how many times I'd bat your eyeballs, and how many it takes to make a pound of tallow. The prophet said, which I wouldn't even try to figure out the finest computer in the world because I wouldn't know what to feed into it. But the Lord knows, so he's got it all done. See? In whom you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and the putting off of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You don't count for it. Doesn't say you go out and sin. How should we sin? God forbid, if we've been raised in a new light. But people just don't understand the operation of faith and what is there for them. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's take another look at it. 20 to 21. Now we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God to beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ to be reconciled to God, who for God hath made Jesus to be a sin offering for us, the sinless one, that we might become, or literally made, the righteousness of God in him. Now somebody said, Brother Dale, you just don't really understand that. What God is doing is sort of breathing on you so that by grace you can slip in with breath. Hogwash! That's a lie from the pit of hell of this Bible stink. Never mind it any longer. Spit on it, trap it underfoot and throw it in the gutter. Vindicated prophet himself said, he became us that we might become him. If we have not been made the righteousness of God by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, then the Word of God is a lie. Amen. But no, we would certainly be like the rest of the legalists. Aren't I nice with what he gave me? I don't get that anymore. Get that guy, though. What I said, I stinking bunch of hypocrites. Then the other cruddy jerk, he says, I can do what I want because I'm saved and I'm eternally secure. He ain't got nothing either. Neither one got anything. They're both in debt. One for despising grace and one for doing despot to it. And they're two different things, despising and doing despot, though they come out to the same thing or two different channels. Now, we become the righteousness of God. It hasn't sunk in yet, but it will sink in. That day has got to come. Because we've been born again, we're full of the Holy Ghost, there's no two ways out of it. That's ours right now. Confessing it will make it so, in the sense of a greater reality. Let's look at the same thing in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. I will just read a couple of verses. In verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, according as it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, here's this solves the thing. Boast in God. Don't be afraid to boast in God. He said, but Brother Vail, it doesn't look like it. So what? You don't look like you're glorified either. Some of you got pimples, losing your hair, lost your teeth, wearing eyeglasses. Look like a bunch of mangy sheep. Now, I'm not saying I'm not one of you. What's the glory in ourselves? God never said you looked in the mirror and saw yourself and looked good. He said you looked in the Word and saw Him.
Amen.
Down the road, you're going to be entirely changed. The baptism guarantees it. Philippians 3:7-9. That's what you are now. Oh, Philippians. That's before Colossians. Okay. What things I count gain to me, I count a loss for what things were gained to me, I count a loss for Christ. Doubtless I count all things for loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now that look what Paul says about those things, manure. So I said, if you don't sit upon the manure heap as a beggar and smell like dung, you ain't going to become a prince. You missed it. Too many people got too, you smell too pretty. Phooey, I'm pretty. Pretty is what pretty is. And be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. What can you do to establish it? Listen, how come we're crying all the time? Because we can't establish it. And then crying all the time because we don't believe he's done it. Well, shall we dance? Strike up the band? Shall we go home and die a little bit over that one? Now, come on. What's going on today? What's going on with Lee Vale? What's going on with you sitting in the pews today? What's going on with you? You want to become righteous and establish it? Do something. Come on. Then if he's done it, what's the belly aching about? Oh, he didn't do a good enough job. That's got to be the answer. Then we're fighting with God. We're making God a liar. You see why confession is so important? I'm going to preach that sermon for myself again because I need it. Years ago when I kept all these things up in the realm of faith, I used to preach them day and night, 21 sermons. That's the days I could preach, 10 times a week and get away with it. Staff, I don't think I'm even going to come here Wednesday night to get somebody else. I'm going to be so tired after this. You think I got lots of energy sitting here. You're wrong. I don't have any energy at all. I'm completely washed up. I tell you something. Confession is the answer. I'll prove to you. Hebrews. No, sorry, not Hebrews. Romans 10. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart. Go descend into heaven. That's bring Christ down. Descend the deep. Who's to bring him up? In other words, it says here, don't ask silly questions. Who's going to bring him down? Then when he dies, who's going to bring him up? Don't bother asking any questions. What says it? Says what? Righteousness. That's in a confession. The word is nigh thee in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God who raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, Hebrews. 10th chapter, I think. But ain't. All right, 19 verse. Therefore, brethren, having both entered the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, which by a new and living way which he has consecrated, dedicated for us, through the veil, that's to say the flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. That's the high priest of our confession, who said what God said. He said, only in my mouth is what the Father says. Now what about this? The baptism with the Holy Ghost gives you the power to confess without lying that you are the righteousness of God. That there is no way you can establish any righteousness. So you are dependent upon mercy and grace, which mercy and grace you have proven by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. All right. Let me read a bit from Desperation, but I could have had far better quotes than this. And now maybe these people, Brother Branham prays, who have the token that they've passed from death unto life, they've changed from the old worldly life to the new one. The blood has been applied and God gave them the token sign. May they take thy token in their hands. And they that are sick say, I am a purchased product of God. I am in Christ and in him is no sickness. I am in Christ and in him is no sin. I am in Christ and in him is no belief, unbelief. I renounce everything the devil has told me. I don't think I could have got a better quote. I take my token. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. With his stripes I am healed. Now that's what you're supposed to do and I'm supposed to do. Six. Oh, well, we'll get there. Don't worry. 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. You'll be home and in bed, sleeping for several hours. Geez, I'm not kidding you, see? I didn't lie to you, did I? All right, six. It is by the personal baptism with the Holy Spirit that gifts and callings are established in the church, even though gifts and callings are by foreknowledge, the same as members can come in only if elected. They're established, but only through foreknowledge. See? Don't try to get what you're not qualified for. People try to think they can have this and they can have that, but they can't do it. It's only by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to quote you. I'm not going to take much time on this because I don't intend to. We're going to go to Romans 12 instead of 1 Corinthians 12. I don't want that. I want Romans 12. Beginning at verse 3, for I say to you, the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now you are to think therefore faith, and you are to express faith. For, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace which is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, waiting on ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives doing with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness, and so on. Then it talks about love, the same as it did in the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter on gifts, and went to love in the 13th. Okay. What I'm trying to show you here is this. That when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, that only the elect will receive it. These same people all have a position in Christ. And that position in Christ will be as automatic and natural as will be the members of your body. So therefore, don't try to be anything you're not. Just ask God to show you what you ought to be doing. And you won't have to speak in tongues necessarily. You won't have to prophesy necessarily. You won't have to have a gift of faith necessarily. You won't have to do miracles necessarily. You won't have to interpret necessarily. Why? Because that's only nine. Irenaeus said there's hundreds. Over here, there is prophecy. There is ministry. There is teaching. There's exhorting. There is giving. There is ruling. There is showing mercy. There is singing. There is planning. There could even be dancing. Don't sell it short. But I don't mean worldly junk. No, don't sell anything short. Now, does it mean you say, well, can we not have gifts in the church? Like in the room, certainly you're going to have them if you got them. But you better know what you're doing. You better know what's sending you in there and why you're going in. You better have your motivation correct. Because if your motivation is not love, and love has to do with your fellow member in this particular case, because that's what it's all about, let love be without dissimulation, and he's talking about the members in the church, and he's talking about gifts and callings that are without repentance, that you get from God, that are confirmed in you when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, because you've always had them as far as I can see. Now certain other ones are literal gifts. They don't come with it necessarily, but, you know, I'm trying to tell you this. Not everybody's going to get a gift of tongues because you're got the Holy Ghost. Not everyone's going to pray for the sick because you got the Holy Ghost. Not everyone is going to interpret because you got the Holy Ghost. That's a lot of bunk. That's that Joe Styles junk that he sold to people years ago. That came out of California, where all the dead preachers are. Forget it. Now I can, he boo-booed on that one, boo-booed badly. Boy, he had everybody talking in tongues, interpreting, prophesying. Pentecost, it won't work. Do I speak with tongues? No. How are you going to do it then? How are you going to tell them to do it? Are you going to go beyond the word, go beyond Paul? Well, they did. No, you got to go in that room with love. Which means I am above judging my brother and sister. All I want to do is help. Until that moment, stay out of that room. Or if you've been in that room, you better pray that you got it. All right. Now, Ephesians, the fourth chapter. This tells you about a fivefold ministry, which is over and above what you saw in 12. When he descended, he gave apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors. Of course, the newest wrinkle out is there's no teachers, because the pastor's supposed to teach and there's no teachers. So they're trying to get rid of me. But you know something? Brother Brown didn't call me a teacher. You know what he said? I had a gift of teaching. Now hold it. Let's watch now. You don't make a mistake. He said, you and I are just alike. I said, what do you mean, Brother Brandon? He said, I have a little gift of healing. Did that make him a healer? Does the gift of teaching make me a teacher? No. Watch it. Now what? I don't know what. I care less. Oh, they'd love to get rid of me. I wish some of the guys would just shoot me, you know. If I could find somebody guaranteed to shoot me, you know, get me away the first bullet, I would write a little letter of apology to get him off the hook. Say, this guy did a worthy deed when he got rid of the veil. Do not criticize him. Give him a letter medal at least. Oh, yeah. To perfect the saints, the work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ, we don't need teachers. Till we all come unity of faith, even they do handle scripture. The knowledge of the Son of God, which you can get in your own. Unto perfect man, unmeasured stature, fullness of Christ. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Care about every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craft, whereby the land weak to deceive, but holding the truth and love good to him. All right, there you are. Now, the baptism with the Holy Ghost guarantees that. Now, people say then, what is all this about the present? See? See where they're at? Easy to deny the present. We've had it all the time. Bless God, who needs that junk? Leave Bill preaching. Well, the junk that the Reverend Brown preached. I didn't preach it. He preached it. He said he's here now. He said that's the revelation of the hour. Wouldn't that be great? God give a man a great minister like William Branham. Turn the world upside down for God. Beat the tar at him if he disobeyed. Deliberately lead him to where he knew Brother Branham would go against his will on some little thing and then whip him down. Like the time he didn't get the bear. He wasn't going to get that bear. He took something to his grave. What did he take to his grave? Don't ask me. Because he never told us. Don't worry. If he did, we never caught it. He knew something he wasn't to tell. And God trained that man until that man could shut up or say exactly right. And he said, the only reason I'm exactly right, because I'm the only living man, can tell it as he is, as I see it. He can look at the vision and tell you exactly. You and I look and we miss it. We have dreams. And Brother Brown would say, hey, hold it. You missed that part of the dream out. Sure. They miss it. They don't know what we're talking about. They say, well, Brother Vail, if you preach like you're doing the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what is all this stuff then about the Holy Spirit being present? Then what is all this junk about Elijah? Because who needs Elijah? Fap, I got the Holy Ghost. Don't give me this crud about Elijah. Bless the son Elijah. Ha, Elijah. I ask to the Jews, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Are you? You don't need the sun righteous rise with healing his wings. You don't? Wonderful. Then you don't want him. Good, I'll have him. I can take a double portion right now. I ain't kidding. They don't want him. I want him. Number 7. It is only by the rebirth, the impartation of the Holy Spirit. The rebirth is the impartation of the Holy Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Which is Christ, the Spirit of Christ come back on the believer. It is only through that one can walk in victory, for only the Holy Spirit can reevaluate the thought processes of our minds and give us strength to carry out the desires of God in our lives. How would you know what was right if God didn't tell you? Here's the Jews. Look what they're doing. I want to tell you something. Bagan is a good Jew. He should annihilate them Arabs. Don't tell me he shouldn't, because Israel should take the Holy Land over and get rid of all those guys. They own it, don't they? It's exactly what the 400 prophets said Ahab too. He said, God gave us this land, hey? But speaking about a Jew, go in and annihilate the Canaanite. Go in and get rid of everybody. They boo-booed for not getting rid of everybody. God knew they wouldn't. I got nothing against bacon. Ain't gonna work, though. Ain't gonna work. It's gonna take God to do it. Because God said, I'm gonna give it to you. Now, under the law, they're doing everything the best they can. But they need a re-evaluation. Do the thought processes of the mind, which is under the control of the Holy Ghost by rebirth. And they haven't got it. They haven't got it. See? Okay. We need the Holy Spirit to grant us true repentance. To give us the power to walk in victory. Galatians, 5th chapter. Stand fast, therefore, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in liberty, which Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Behold, I have policy unto you, that if you're circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. What if you and I are doing things that profit us nothing? Would the Holy Ghost tell a man to be circumcised for a religious purpose? Show me where the Holy Ghost told a man to be circumcised for a physical purpose. Doctors try to tell you, well, a man that he's circumcised, his wife has less chance of getting cancer of the cervix. Doctor said, hogwash, a lot of crud, nothing to it. They'll tell you for the male it means so long sexual pleasure. The other man will confute it. Hope you're getting what I'm talking about. You and I could be doing a lot of things, too, that don't amount to nothing. Don't amount to nothing. Why, he said, circumcision is nothing. The sign of the Holy Ghost is pure and empty, because it's not the Holy Ghost. Nothing you and I do is the Holy Ghost. Comes by a free gift of grace unto the elect. Those that were foreordained only believe. Only the elect are foreknown and believe. And they get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, your circumcision, whatever you do, what you put faith in, is nothing. Now, he said, you're a debtor to do the whole law. He said, if you go to circumcision, you do the whole law. But listen, let's get this flat. He that offends in one point of the law is guilty of all. Then he that does one point of the law is guilty, unless he does all the points of the law. Where does it leave us? Same as the Jew. So circumcision, which simply means anything to the cutting off of the flesh, which means to put it down, is hogwash. Useless. Now listen, Christ become of no effect. You that are justified by the law are fallen from grace. If it be works, it is no longer grace. If it's grace, it's no longer works. Make up your mind. But we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Waiting for what? The body to be changed when nothing can bother you. Look, as long as you're a human being, anything you have can be perverted. That's what sin is all about. The first thing that happened in the garden was perverted word that became a perverted deed. We bypassed our word body, so therefore we are able to see anything and everything perverted. Wait till you get your word body, which is a theophonic body, which turns into a resurrected body, clothed in it, and you just try the devil, hit the devil come up to you and say, hey, wouldn't you like to go out and just club that fellow on the head? Remember, years back before he got saved, he did you a real dirty deed, and now you can club him on the head. And the thing is this, you can club him all day long because, you know, it'll bounce off like rain off a tin roof, but the thing, why don't you just go ahead and indulge yourself? What are you talking about? How can I say to this Bible here in the sense that this is, well, I got a book that's better to talk about. How can I say to this book now, I'll tell you what book, why don't you become an organ and start playing all the songs in there? Well, how can the devil come to a glorified person and tell him to sin? See, but we're waiting for that day. The baptism with the Holy Ghost guarantees it. Now, notice. He said, you did run well. How did you get away from the truth? This persuasion cometh not at him that calls you. God's not in it. A little lump leavens the whole lump. Now, he said, don't be that way. Now, listen. In verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, they're worried about it, you see. Anybody ought to be worried about lust of the flesh and those things. But I'm going to tell you something. If you refute grace, you're not going to get anywhere, because it's only the Spirit can help you. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit lusts against the flesh. They're contrary one to another, and you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. What law? The law of the flesh. Now the works of the law are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, and the law of God proved it. See? How could a man commit adultery if there's no law against it? Let me listen. If my body craved this paper, and I knew that this paper wasn't bad to eat, I'd just chomp her down. Now, sexual intercourse, which is a normal, natural thing, does not have a law against it. By all means, enjoy yourselves. Law says no way. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But if the law had not said that, there's no adultery. How can you charge a man? See, the white man had an awful job trying to make the Eskimo respect the white man's law. And the book called Kabluna by that Frenchman, I forget his name, Fair something, or I might remember sometime later. Remember his name? Doesn't matter. Wrote Wind, Sands, and Stars and books like that. Very interesting. He tells how that this Eskimo was making an igloo out of ice, you know, snow, ice, mostly snow. And he had it, this big knife that he cut the blocks with. And this fella was reaching up, this friend of his, and he had his stomach, his belly was showing out from underneath his sweatshirt, whatever it was. And he saw this big belly stepping out, so he just shoved his knife in and killed the guy. Now, that's like the fella said, why'd you climb that mountain? Because it was there. Why'd you eat that cookie? Because it was there. Now, when they found out, they took the man to jail. He didn't know why he was taken to jail. But you say, how can these things be? No law. Now, the Bible said the law is written in their conscience. How far can you take that? If you got a conscience seared, or your conscience been turned by paganism. Now, if you had a pure conscience, sure, a pure conscience would let you know. Adam knew, but he got sucked in because he did it. He played God. All right, look at the scripture here then. All right? The law says, all right, you shall not do this, not do that, not do that thing. It classifies it. Envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, such like. And they that do it, in other words, the habit pattern, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the born-again believer doesn't do it. Because he's the inheritor. The desire's not there. The desire is to do right. The desire is for love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's a growth there. These aren't called works. The others are called works. Works of the flesh are manifest. This is fruit of the Spirit. Your body will produce these. The old man will produce these. When you're born again, this will be what is being produced. Under duress. That's why character is a victory in the war of the mind and the flesh. It is not something handed you on a silver platter. Let's take a look in Romans, the 5th chapter. It tells you how it works. The Holy Spirit alone can do it. Verse 1, therefore having been justified by faith and peace of God the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore having been justified, not being justified, therefore having been justified, we have peace with God the Lord Jesus Christ. That's amnesty. By whom we have access and faith in His grace when we're called. Stand and rejoice and hope in the glory of God. Not only so, we glory and we exalt in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works endurance. And endurance works character, and character maturity, which brings us to hope. Everything in life has a battle. And there's a battle to come up with character. And when you see people who are just plain, sweet, nice people, there's no character there because there's no battle. Now, there's character in a way, but character does not come in any other way except through problems. Now, as I mentioned, I said, I'm just sick and tired of sweet people. They'll put you in a bind every cotton picking time to mess you up. Because they're just too sweet for me. Now, it's not that I don't like sweet people, it's just I can't stand them. It's nice, sweetness is nice and all, but I'm going to tell you what. That niceness can betray Christ just as much as a bad temper can. Yep. Because you can be plumb fooled by being nice. What we're talking about, there is a character that comes out by the Holy Spirit purging us through positions that are contrary to our liking. But for the sake of Christ, we'll stand up and do it anyway. And we continue till character comes forth. So there is a character here we're looking at. Now, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith the Son of God loving gave himself for me. It tells you right there, there's a light that comes forth through the Spirit, which is identified with the Word, that will cause you to want to and help you to walk in that Word. Now, you see, right now, if I'm right on the presence, and a fellow that preached this sermon against me 2 weeks ago and called me by name and ran me down, everything else, I'm going to tell you something. Where is his character? In two counts. Number one, what if I'm wrong? Why didn't he come to me? Number two, if I'm right, where is his character? But he's a nice guy. And he'll tell you his wife is saved, your children are saved, which is better than Brother Branham had. So dig Brother Branham up, defecate in his middle, burn him up. Let's do the whole thing. I'm a rough speaker. I'm very uncouth up here. I care less. You do what you want with it. I'm telling you flat. Let's do it. Because I want you to see the picture. We're not nice people anymore. Not that we're nice people. We're just not nice people. That nice. This nice? Yes. Like Jesus, who descended like a thunder cloud every time he hit Jerusalem, like a raging tornado went through the temple, glorifying the prostitutes and the publicans, and running down the nice, sweet, lovely old priest. Now, he didn't glorify prostitutes and publicans. They listened. Amen. The rest were too nice. Amen. The rest didn't need him. And you can say, oh, I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't need him. You know? Not him to rise upon you, healing his wings. Oh, you say, that's when he comes corporally. That's too late. That's too late. That's when the church has given birth to the Antichrist, and the bride has already given birth to him.
Amen.
3.5 years at the wedding supper. Somebody's wrong. They ain't leave veil. I read the prophet right. Fiddle diddle. I know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not telling you why I know I'm right. Because I listen to the prophet. The prophet said, always looking back, always looking forward, never know what's going on. I tell you what's going on. I'm telling you what's going on now. And I'm telling you what I'm telling you is this won't do it. Do what? What he said. If Elijah don't come, I'll wipe it all out. Then this won't do it. Because I've got it. You read for yourself. Romans 6:1-23, Ephesians 4:17-24. 2 Corinthians 5:14-17, 1 Corinthians 2:9-14, Philippians 4:12-13, 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. You make up what you can with it. I haven't got time. All right. Maybe I should read something, because that's what they can't stand this bit where I get on character. Let's keep reading. Back to Galatians 6. They'll say, I knew he'd do it. Tell me what I'm doing. Tell me where I've taken people's money and asked for it. That's number one. Tell me where I've made myself popular. Number two. Right? All right. Tell me where I've had any woman outside of my wife. 3 of them. I don't want any of them. If I had a way, I'd give my Social Security back because I don't need it. You see, you got to be nuts. I'm not nuts. I'm sane. I'm intelligent to a degree.
I'm stupid otherwise. I'd be a rich man. Who needs it? No? I believe in the God to take care of you. Brother Brand said if he sent you, he'll take care of you. I don't need tickets sent me here and there. Let God send me. He'll give me my own money. Amen. I went to Europe the first time, cost $3,600. The next time, $3,000. I never took an offering. I went there, a man said, I'll give you a lovely camera. I said, I don't want it. I'm already. He said, I'll give it to you. That man has paintings in his house. I said, is that one worth $10,000? He said, oh, you laughed. He said, $30,000, more like it. His house is full of paintings. He said, I'll give you that, Brother Bailey, you like it. $30,000 painting. Worth maybe $60 today. I said, no way. I know guys would be glad to take it. At least I think I do, from what I've seen already. I'm not trying to make myself something. I'm just trying to tell you. When have I asked anybody for money? Around here, I've given a whole lot more than I've ever taken. That's for sure. I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you flat. Where's the women in my life? Let me tell you something. I can go down any street in America, the world, and the prostitute will stand on the corner. I'll look her right in the eye, and she doesn't go to me. She looks, go on down the road, you bum. I can't even catch a prostitute. And I'm glad.
Praise God.
I'm not popular. I don't want to be. How many places have been in the last few years? You name them. I'll tell you where I've been. Six places, maybe. And I could have gone around the world.
Very easy. See?
So, I'm defending myself. To a degree. I've got a right to speak up. A guy tells a lie, let's correct it. He's the guy running around the world, not me. As Bob Brown said, and he said, okay, Lee's running around, name me dates and places. And the guy couldn't do it. So he tried something else. So Bob got him on that one. Now I'm a deceiver. Am I a deceiver? If he's not here, let me tell you this. Brother Branham lied. Because he said he was. Amen. Oh, he's gone back. And he's got to come back. Because he does all three in descending. Show me scripture. Up, no. Down, up, down, up, down, up. Ooh, 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 in, out, ooh, ooh. Forget it. He's nuts, I'm nuts, we're all nuts. How can you keep track of a God like that?
Right, amen.
Oh, come on. Three revolving doors and 30 people going through. Tell me, how are you going to keep track? I'm going to challenge you. I'll give anybody a ready check for $1,000. We'll go to three revolving doors. And you give me 21 people going through each door. That's all. 63 people. You got $1,000 to name it. They're going to go through fast. Now, $1,000. You know what? I'll confuse you. You know I will, too. Well, in fact, go on practice. Let's see if you get $1,000. This will be fun. I'll write a check on the church. Who cares? I'll get it in my pocketbook. I've got to get the $1,000 in there first. That's no big deal. If I was broke, I know certain people would lend me $1,000. Wouldn't even lend it. They'd just give me $1,000 or $2,000 right tomorrow. First phone call. I wouldn't even have the phone. Just the word got out. That's all. What's his business? Down, up, down, up, down, up, in, out. I'm not crazy. Somebody is, because he said they'd go insane. Everybody talk about Jesus. Don't have him. Everybody talk about heaven ain't going there. Okay. Let's go back to Romans 6. Take some of these scriptures. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's dead to sin, separated through the blood. Blood scattering sin. Till there's no evidence. How are we living it? We're separated from it. The influence is gone. The horror is gone. The penalty is gone. It's gone. How are we going to live in it? Know ye not? Says many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. That's not water. You should read that years ago as water. Fat. We buried him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. That wasn't water baptism raised up. So we'll walk in newness of life. Water baptism doesn't do it. That's repent, be baptized, and get the thing that does make you walk. That's the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Being planted again in the likeness of his death. We should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Crucified with him. Risen with him. Completed identification. knowing this, her old man is crucified with him. Not with crucified, I think it was crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. But he that is dead is freed from sin. Now he talks about a dead man. Now if he be dead with Christ, we believe we shall live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. Death has no more to me nor him. And that he died once unto sin once. And he lives unto God. Likewise you. Know within yourselves. You're dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Any man that's born again loves God and wants to appreciate him and live for him and everything else. There's a lot of guys got a lot of trouble in their flesh. Maybe they haven't paid some prices they ought to pay. In fact, that's the key to the whole thing. Until I paid the price of going down the road trusting God, I never got over the place of covetousness and greed and all these things. Wanted this and wanted that. You've got to pay the price of seeing the Word of God and knowing that by the Spirit of God, He won't only provide for you financially, as Brother Branham said, He sends you to take care of you, but He actually will stand with you when you make up your mind in a certain position. When I made up my mind, I wouldn't go back preaching until I prayed for the sick, and the sick got healed, the sick got healed. They got healed by the hundreds. Miracles under the doctor's noses. Maybe not a whole bunch, but I knew it wasn't in any great big ministry. They wanted me to have a big ministry in Canada, get a big tent and everything else. And I said, hogwash, I'm not going that stuff. I'm just a little guy. Actually, they didn't know I was proving a point. Just proving the point, like this tells you here. If I'm alive to the healing that's in Jesus Christ and a minister of the gospel, and I set my heart to see that ministry come forth, that ministry is going to come forth. If I set my heart knowing the things of God, the Spirit of God with me, that's got to come forth in fruit and everything else that's already lies there. Why? Because you're dead indeed unto sin. You're alive unto God. Then he said, neither yield your members as infant unto unrighteousness, but unto sin. Brother Branham categorically told us, man going down the street see a woman that's dressed in such a way as to attract men, he just turns his back and walks away. He said, you can't leave your complexes. Just turn your back and walk off. Yield yourself unto God. As those that are alive from the dead, your members as infant unto righteousness unto God. Now I'm going to tell you something. That's where you work out character in the Holy Ghost. But it takes the Holy Ghost to help you. Now, if you did this by yourself, you ain't going to get off the ground. Without being born again. Without being born again, you can literally do this. Like a good Christian Scientist. Like a good Seventh-day Adventist. Like a good Methodist or Baptist. And you know what? Like the Methodist woman, you'll end up with shorts. Seducing 100 men in one day and don't even know you're committing adultery. These people know the truth and they know something is going on. And they know there's a battle for the mind. The battleground of the body. They know that the spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. They cannot be reconciled. It's a battle. You'll never be perfect this side the resurrection. So what you do, you yield to God. Now anybody can do it if he wants to do it. And he doesn't want to do it usually because he doesn't count the cost, because he's never been taught how to count the cost. He's never been taught what lies in the peaceable fruits of victory. Now, let's face it. You're right now, I know you're a bit troubled because, look, we're all in the flesh. And we all look at ourselves. You just write a little list to yourself exactly what your problem is. And you take a good look at it. It's 10 to 1. You won't come up with 1,000 answers like the devil's trying to tell you right now. You've got 100 things wrong with you. But you might have maybe 2 things that bug you, and that's it. You might have just 1 thing that bugs you. And that's where your battle lies. See, that's that little fault in there, that little, what's called a fault with the seismologist called a fault with earthquakes. It shows where the bust is going to be, but it's not a bust until it busts. It's just a fault, F-A-U-L-T. Now, that's what James says. He said, confess your faults, your weaknesses, the points where you know. You don't have to confess them to me or anybody else. Just confess them to God. Make sure you know what you're talking about. And I'm going to tell you something. You set your heart to fight that, and the devil will engage you, but you'll come victorious with Christ.
You know, I tell you, you can do it with food or anything else you really want to do it. I here's a great chocolate bar so I can man smoke cigarettes. I can show you know a bit about smoking. Would you smoke cigarettes maybe like one after the other? I eat chocolate bars, same way, buddy. I never got thin or fat either. My Lord, I knew it was killing me, though. It was no good. Now, one day I said, Lord, now look, Lord, unless you help me, I'll go right downtown to buy a chocolate bar. That's 30-some years ago. I can eat a bit of a chocolate bar now and then, but I don't indulge in them. See, the devil knows our weaknesses, but the minute he's challenged on the submission to God, the victory comes. And this is what Paul is trying to tell us. People look at it and say, oh, my, I don't have that. I don't have the Holy Ghost. How come a man carried away by sexual pressure, took his father's young wife in sexual intercourse, and according to Scripture, he's full of the Holy Ghost. And you know what they did? The people wouldn't do one thing till Paul said, what is the matter with you bunch of goons anyway? What do you think the Holy Ghost is all about? He didn't say they weren't full of the Holy Ghost. He said, with my Spirit present and the Spirit of God, you turn that man or Satan and you do it now. And the man came right back. And then they treated him so rotten, Paul had to say, hey, he's been punished. He's paid his price. Lay off. Oh, people, how I love people. Oh, how I love people, but not like I love Jesus. Most of the time I like dogs bearing people, but dogs bark and they kept me awake, so that got rid of the dogs. Now I just love the Lord, hopefully. But you see, fruit grows, but growth takes what? Room to expand. And the minute you need room to expand and you don't have the right size shoe, your foot hurts and the wrong size pants, the seam splits. Huh? Trouble. Growth causes problems. Growing pains. Now this is growth. And you will be pained in getting the growth because you must face it. Now Christians don't want to face it because it says growth. They think, well, hey, one morning I woke up and don't you know, there it was. I was an inch taller. Hogwash. Took several weeks or months to get that inch. But because it is imperceptible until the time of perceptibility, they think, hey, fruit's the same way. Yes and no, and mostly no. Because there's a battle until one day you wake up and you say, hey, I'm over that. How is it done? The Spirit of God helping you, being your comforter, being your strength. Like Paul said, I can do all things to strengthen me and give me comfort and so on. Okay, that's enough. All right, we're at the end of the message. Seven distinct outworkings of the Holy Spirit in the lives of individuals. And you can take every one and say, well, look, that's it. But dare you take one by themselves? Then dare you take them all by them, all together? If he said different. See? They are all of grace and faith. Some of them are sovereignly bestowed and imputed by God to us as free gifts. Others must be believed and confessed and submitted to so that we walk in victory and mature as sons. Always try to keep the balance. We must never attempt to induce ourselves into what God alone has in his power, but neither must we then, neither must we shun the consecration and the crucifixion of the flesh so that the Spirit-infused Word may take effect. Jesus suffered over the Word. You and I will suffer over the Word. Jesus said, I wish I didn't have to go through this, but if it's your will, I will. Now, I don't know that this is the right translation. They claim the other translation don't say this, but on the cross, Jesus cried out in the version we have, which is the I suppose it's maybe the Sinaitic version, I'm not sure. Maybe it's a combination of the Alexandricus and the Sinaiticus, I don't know. But he says on the cross, he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? They say another version said, yea, for this hour was I born. I don't care. The human being could have said, why did you forsake me? In other words, I haven't done anything. Now, many times you and I don't do anything. And what comes on us? Pressure that God allows. What are you going to do, blow it? You stand back and take it, because out of it comes a richer, deeper experience. See? Now look, a lot of things I brought on myself in the last 2 years.
I'll be honest with you. But let me tell you one thing. I didn't bring one thing upon me in the last 2 years. I stood my ground and said, no way. And it turned right against me. It was supposed to. He said, Brother Vail, then if you learned your lesson, just a minute, it just qualified me for a bigger lesson. Don't stop. Don't stop, kids. Grade 1 qualifies you for grade 2. And grade 2 stinks just as bad as grade 1, but it qualifies you for grade 3. And when you get through college, that's when you find the pressure, because you find you aren't qualified really for anything. Because now you really got to bluff your way or do something to get somewhere. No longer can you handle a master or a science or a PhD to an employer and say, hey, here I am. He says, so what? You're not in this seat, kiddo. When I was a master mechanic, they came up the hard way, bless God. You ain't going to get my chair because you got the PhD. Because I got the experience. Oh, honey, you got a tough life until one day the resurrection. And you'll blow it no more. I don't care what the devil brings your way. He ain't going to bring nothing. He's finished. And God won't bring anything your way. Except, well done, good and precious servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So, all right, try to keep the balance. We must never attempt to induce ourselves into what God alone has in His power. But neither must we shun the consecration and crucifixion of the flesh so that the Spirit-infused word may take effect. In other words, if He said, don't do it, don't do it. If He said, do it, do it. So we see. This is Pentecost, what I have preached. This is what it is to be Spirit-filled to a degree. I have preached it. And to be refilled, for there's many infillings. It is the life of God and a man together. The man learning and leaning and allowing. Now that's part of what it is to be baptized the Holy Ghost, and that's Pentecost. That's the presence that always has been. Now, next Wednesday, I'll talk a little bit about what Paul was talking about, Brother Branham was talking about. Then we'll come back again Sunday, and that's going to clear this whole slate up, hopefully, until the next time. But I hope you're understanding. Look, the people don't understand what we're saying. Because of the legitimacy of the Scripture referring to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But you become illegitimate with Cain. When you take Scripture that doesn't belong to that and try to use it. Because Paul was not at Pentecost. He got what they got at Pentecost, but he got a whole lot more. Pentecost can never approximate what I am talking about. And let me tell you, without what I am talking about, Pentecost is up for grabs, because any spirit can produce anything in a person that spirit says and wants produced. Huh? So what if a wrong spirit got a hold of you? And he told you some things. And then he produced them in you. How are you going to know? Good question. We've been sitting a long time. I've been sitting with you, and I'm not too tired, so I didn't see you move much. You're a nice bunch of people. Love you very dearly. And you're nice people. I just hope you never get too nice. Man, oh man, oh man. We got to have nice people. That, you know. In other words, that's all you are is nice. No, we don't believe that. We believe you're the Lord's sheep. And you got a kind of a tough time me being here. Remember, I'm not a pastor, I'm a minister. Oh, how I do minister. So, everybody happy? Okay, let's rise for a minute or two. You're still not off the hook. Heavenly Father, we look to you in grace and mercy that you bestowed upon us, and love and thanksgiving for your great consideration of us this day, that we can be here and know, Lord, those things that are true. And we can know them, and Lord, by your grace, we shall know them even more. For we shall confess to them. Almighty God, we will not stand here and vow any kind of a vow.
But we will say this, Lord, we open ourselves for your Holy Spirit to use a pitchfork or anything else on us that is necessary. Absolutely, Lord, we lay ourselves open to come to this place where we will, not of necessity, but we're laying this to grace now, Lord, and a desire for the fulfillment of your word and to love and honor you. Do what you have to do to us to get those confessions out concerning where we stand in you, what the Holy Spirit baptism means to us. And Lord, if we are just so niggardly, we are so downright contentious within ourselves, it sure means that the Spirit of God is being put to one side and the old flesh and the stinking man of the flesh is lusting a little bit too hard. It's about time we cut back. And if we don't cut back, God, we just raise our hands to you and say, Lord, cut us back, because it's time. So we thank you, Lord, for what lies in the Holy Spirit. And we acknowledge it, we honor it. Hopefully, to where you want us to be in it. But Lord, we know that there's something else here, and that is the great divider of himself is now here, himself, amongst those in the last age to whom he divided himself. Oh God, how wonderful that is. How wonderful to know your presence. And to know what that presence does to us spiritually, lifting us up. Just as the prophet said, taking us plumb outside of our knowing, plumb outside of our being when angels came. Lord, I'm not selling you short on what you can do to us. Even as you did to the prophet. He had a revelation. We've got the same revelation, the same God, the same everything. Take us plumb out of our knowing. Right into the unknown. Lord, we'll stand right here. We believe it. You're wonderful, Lord. You're wonderful. Just marvelous, O God. All your ways are perfect. We praise thee, O Lord, from the bottom of our hearts and the depth of our soul, from the understanding you've given us in our minds, the illumination that came right down in there. How we praise thee, O God, thou art all glorious. We thank you so much for it. Just to know you, to know right, being life eternal. This crowns it, this climaxes it, Lord. All the surprise of all the ages coming up to the pyramid top, this greatest. How wonderful. It couldn't be anything but that. It could not be anything but that. We see the wisdom of God. We see the integrity. We see the all of God. How we praise you, Lord. Hopefully believing as one heart and one mind. As one soul, Lord. As one united membership. One little part of the body. Maybe we could be just counted a part of the big toe or something here. That'd be fine, Lord. That'd be just fine if we just be the big toe. Of the end time bride, whatever it is, I don't know. If we were just one strand of the hair or something, one of the fingernails, anything at all, Lord, we were willing to take the lowest part because we know that doesn't mean anything as long as we're apart. As long as we're in there functioning, that life flowing through us, and we performing in it, Lord, only too happy to put down the flesh, the crucified, to take a stand against it. Yes, sir. All the way, Lord, we just praise thee. Father, heal the sick amongst us. We know they're there who can stand help. I can stand help myself, and you're good to me. I know, Lord, I'm getting to the place where something's got to take me out of this life. I appreciate that. But I know, Lord, there's help regardless. There's certain areas that maybe I'm letting myself go. And I want to renew my faith. Faith the people here. To look to you, O God. At least you give me strength the inside. I got to take a whole lot more than that, too. A whole lot more. Just loads and loads, Lord. The ability to grow, we know, is infinite because of the infinite one in us, in that measure which abounds beyond anything there ever was. Surely the great one is here with his greatness, and we're sharing in it today. So, Father, we love you and magnify your name and just can't praise you now. Hopefully now, Lord, we look for revelation upon revelation. Manifestation, thy visitation, O God, all these things are pouring upon us, in us, and through us, as we are spiritually led. Lord, we look for everything that you gave the prophet in that end time writing, in the spoken words, original seed, knowing that God, that there would be a bride who has the word and nothing to do with it. Lord, we count ourselves that privileged group. We believe it, Lord, we believe it's operating, and we believe it shall. Until you take us home or you come. Oh, what a day, what a day. Just around the corner. We believe it's already here, Lord. Oh, that our eyes like Gehazi might be opened today by the Spirit of the living God. Oh, Lord, if you just give your command, open those eyes. Oh, my, what we would see. Not that we want to be prophets, but Gehazi wasn't a prophet. But the prophet's parable in his eyes. Lord, we know our eyes have been opened to spiritual things, but there's other things deeper. And yet, how can we say they're deeper? We don't know. We hunger and thirst, Lord. We believe you're the great filler. Thank you for helping us, each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord bless you.